Hey guys, welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by our friends at Heartland Flags and heartlandflags.com. I've got a Heartland flag right here on my wall, Cyclone Nation. Got that a couple years ago here and it's proudly up on my wall here in Ankeny, and you can do that too if you get on heartlandflags.com. They've got all your Cyclone flags. They've got everything for the NFL, NBA, MLB, whatever it is. The pennant races are coming up here. Support your, you know, whether you're a Cubs fan, a Cardinals fan, doesn't matter. They've got it there for you on heartlandflags.com, and they are one of our favorite sponsors here at cyclonefanatic.com. A little bit different here with the podcast today. What's up, K Fitzy?
Not a whole lot. How's it going?
Pretty good. We're gonna try and do this every week, right?
Yep, sounds good.
Yeah, so this is kind of just our intro to it. The first thing I wanted to bring up, I don't know if anybody knows this, but you have the distinct honor of being the only Cyclone Fanatic contributor to ever be blocked by the Cyclone Fanatic Twitter account.
Well, it goes beyond that. At one point, I was permabanned from the forums for basically being a corrupt teenager. So, luckily, CW got me hooked up, and we're all back on the site and performing now. So,
yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah, that's a positive. I was on the Twitter. I think it was when Chris tweeted out your article the other day. I clicked on your name from the Cyclone Fanatic account, and it's like, this account is blocked. I was like, whoa, okay, that's a little crazy.
I believe I'm still blocked, so you have to get that taken care of.
Right. I actually said something to Chris. I was like, hey, you know, K Fitzy's blocked on the Twitter account, right? And he's like, oh yeah, we gotta unblock him. He's like, I didn't even think about that.
Yep.
He's like, he was a little SH word head sometimes back in the
absolutely.
Day though. He's like, we just had to do it. But
yeah, if CW, I'm sure you're listening, I was a little SH word, so definitely.
Yeah, that's funny. But we I guess kind of what our goal here is going to be like a younger angle version of the podcast. That's how I pitched it to Chris.
Sounds good to me. I listened to the podcast today and it was a good episode, so
yeah, we're not going to talk about being dads.
And, no, hopefully not for a while at least.
Right, exactly. Nothing like that. We're just going to come out here. We're going to have some fun, bring a little bit of a younger angle to the Iowa State thing. We got to think of a name though.
I know. We should really put that out to the forums or something. I don't know.
One I thought of was like the Cyclone Side of Life.
Fine with me. I mean, yeah, I'm up for anything.
I think that would be pretty good. We're going to go through some players and programs in college football that are trending up, trending down. But first, we wanted to talk a little bit about the Kamilo Tongamoa situation. I do think that's going to be resolved here in the next several days. Matt Campbell's going to be available on Friday. Chris Williams will be there with full coverage here for Cyclone Fanatic. But, I mean, I think the situation there, it's more about the NCAA now than it is about Iowa State. I think he's good with Iowa State. It just comes down to getting through the clearinghouse, all that kind of stuff. But I'm confident that he'll play for Iowa State this season.
That's good. Well, you know, even if he shows up, I think that D-line depth's really something we need. So hopefully he does.
Yeah, for sure. And the only thing is, I mean, if he wasn't eligible, he doesn't have a red shirt. So that's the one problem.
Got to get him playing this year.
Yeah, got to get him playing. He's only got two seasons to play. So I just kind of wanted to preface it with that. I know I've gotten a lot of questions about where Kamilo is. I think that situation will be resolved here in the next several days from what I understand. But all right, so do you want to go back and forth with our lists, or do you want to how do you want to do this?
Yeah, I think back and forth work well.
Okay, who do you got number one for trending up?
Well, okay, so here's what I did. We each came up with five. I did one Iowa State related, two Big 12 related, and two nationally related. So I'll start with the Iowa State one. Trending up, I just went with Iowa State's depth at receiver. It's pretty well known that the receiver group is like one of the best on the team right now, but it sounds like a lot of the guys behind Alan Lazard, DeSonte Jones, and Trevor Ryan are playing really well at practice. I've heard like Marchie Murdoch, even Landon Akers, and the freshman Tariq Milton have really impressed there. So have you been hearing the same?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's crazy because I've said this a couple times on podcasts, but I mean, you think about it, you've got Allen, DeSonte, and Trevor. Everybody knows about them. Hakeem Butler is, from everything that I've heard, he's been an absolute freaking stud in practice. I don't know if you saw the video that John Walters put up on Cyclones TV one day, but there were some clips of him in practice, and I swear he looked like Randy Moss, dude, as much as he was beating everybody.
He's like 6'6", isn't he?
Yeah, he's like 6'6", 6'7".
Yeah.
He's huge, dude. And I mean, I think he's probably put on 20 pounds since he got to Iowa State.
I believe it.
But he runs like a gazelle, and he can catch the ball. And I mean, I think that if there wasn't a guy named Alan Lazard in front of him, he would have a huge sophomore season.
Yeah.
But if nothing else, junior year, that dude is going to be like one of the best. I think he'll be one of the best receivers in the Big 12 by the time he's done at Iowa State.
Hopefully lining up opposite Alan Lazard will open up the field for him a little bit, and he'll get some more action this year.
Yeah, for sure. But then, so you've got him, you've got Matt Eaton. So that's already five. You mentioned Landon Akers and Marchie Murdoch, Carson Epps.
Yep.
Tariq Milton. I'm missing some, but I can't even. See, that's the thing. I'm almost running out of hands. There's so many.
I know there's a bunch of like recent recruits too. Josh,
Josh Johnson has shown out pretty well.
Yep.
Jalen Martin is a guy that I think that they're all really excited about. So, I mean, it's just it's like an embarrassment of riches, which I'm not sure that Iowa State's ever been able to say that about not just the receivers, but really any like skill position. Like
yeah,
that.
I know. I mean, it's going to obviously be a big loss when Alan Lazard leaves next year, but we should be set up for the years to come, too.
Right. You only lose Lazard and Trevor Ryan, right?
I believe so, yeah.
So even – and then even next year, I think you only lose Matt Eaton.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be a lot of fun to watch those guys. Yeah, so I definitely have to agree with that about the receivers. I think that you could almost go trending up with all their offensive skill position players.
That's true.
You look at running back, you've got – David Montgomery, Mike Warren, Kenny Nwangwu, whenever he comes back from injury.
Yep.
Johnny Lang is a guy that I think that everybody feels like is going to be really, really good this year. Chase Allen, throw him in there too.
Yep.
Jacob Park, obviously everybody knows what we're going to get with him.
Really, we just need the offensive line to get up to the par here. So.
Right, we need them to be trending up, which I think that they are to an extent.
They're just young, and they need to learn under Tom Manning. So.
Right. Well, and the one difference here, I mean, I think it was like – 2 seasons ago, coming into fall camp, is like, how are they even going to fill out a five? Yeah. Let alone be like, how are they going to get the depth to have two or like eight guys?
Yeah, and you speak the offensive line, like, look at the two graduate transfers that have all out quit football now. It's like, right. We thought those would be big losses, and now they're just, weren't even there.
Well, I think that, I mean, I've heard that Dave Dawson got here, and it was like, right away, it's like, okay, this isn't going to work.
Yeah, probably just thought he could come here and be a cakewalk starter. And,
exactly.
You
know. I think that situation – well, and then you get Josh Knipfel out of that, where I think that was addition by subtraction, because then you also got a good addition.
I agree.
Guy's a sophomore. I think that he can come in and play right away as well. So,
yep.
I think that all around on the offense, there's just so many more pieces to work with than there's really ever been – at least, I mean, for sure, since I've been covering Iowa State, but I have to think that it's at least ever, as much as it's ever been, really.
I would agree. Skill positions are set for this year and beyond.
Now they need to get the defense doing the same thing.
Yep.
All right, so I didn't throw an Iowa State one in there. I've talked about Iowa State so much this summer that I was honestly like kind of Iowa State'd out.
I understand.
You gave me a – well, I'm not Iowa State'd out. That's a bad thing to say.
I have a lot to say when you're writing for
Cyclone
Fanatic.
I have a lot more time to talk about Iowa State, but I just want to talk about some like national stuff.
No, for sure. Yeah.
So I had a thought that I was gonna say. I can't remember what it was though. All right, my first one that I had was Washington State.
Mike Leach.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean they went 8-5 last year. They're ranked in the top 25 by Sports Illustrated. I assume that they're going to be in the AP top 25. I'm sorry if Lolo is
Lolo's
getting all up in your business.
She's chewing on something over here, so.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she doesn't want you to have it, though.
Having a good time.
So Washington State, 8-5 last year, but they bring back Luke Falk, who is probably one of the better quarterbacks that nobody really thinks about in college football.
Yep.
They're going to have their top running back back, and he was one of their best receivers last year as well. It was fourth on the team in receptions. So, I mean, I think that the Pac-12 North is probably Washington's to lose.
Yep.
Maybe or Stanford's.
And I believe I looked up Washington today, and they lost a couple key pieces on defense. I think they lost both their cornerbacks, which would be pretty big.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially against an air raid offense like Washington State.
Well, I was looking into some Washington stuff as well. That's one of my trending downs. Not just Washington, but one of their players. I think that we'll get to that later. But, I think Mike Leach is – pretty close to getting that thing rolling there. That's going to be a fun state to watch here over the next couple of years, how those two programs kind of progress after Washington obviously makes the college football playoff, and Washington State, I mean, I think that they've got a lot of good momentum going as well.
Yeah, that should be a good Washington the state rivalry.
Yeah, for sure. All right, who you got number two?
My number two, I just went with, Texas, Tom Herman. It's pretty hard for them to go any worse than they were last year under Charlie Strong last year. I think that Herman's going to have them back in the top two or three of the Big 12 soon, if not this year. They just got too much talent to stay middling. I looked it up in the recruiting rankings in the Big 12, according to 24/7 Sports. Second in 2013, second in 2014, first 15, first in 16, and then second this year, this coming class. So that's pretty impressive. And they're only trailing Ohio State this year, I believe, for the national rankings.
I mean, I think I've said this before, too. I'm just not convinced about Tom Herman yet. I mean, I know a lot of people are – I know Chris Williams is all on the Tom Herman train. But I've told him that I'm not convinced that, you know, he's as good of a coach as everybody kind of is making him out to be.
See, I think a lot of it this year, though, is just going to be the whole – we have a new coach, like, you know, we can fight back. It's going to be a lot on the mental side of things for them, too.
Well, kind of like what happened to Houston his first year there.
Yeah, I would say that.
Like you mentioned, I mean, there's so much talent that you have to be a really bad coach, I feel like, to not win with those guys.
Absolutely. At Texas, you should be easily winning 9-10 games a year, like sleeping.
Yeah.
And so.
Which, I don't think Charlie Strong was a bad coach. I think he was a bad fit for Texas.
I would agree.
So I think that, I think that anybody that puts them in a position where they're not going to be in the top two or three in the Big 12, you're dreaming.
Yeah.
That team's going to be really good, I think.
Yeah, but I expect them to go.
I still think that they're going to come into Ames on Thursday night, and it's going to be a good game.
The last two times, I think it was that Jeremiah George game, and then obviously we blew them out 24-0 the last time they were in Ames. So
I called that game on the radio for the student station, and I'm not sure that I've ever been more bewildered. Like, just standing there, like, I can't even believe this is happening.
Was that the Jeremiah George game or the
24-0 game?
Yeah.
It was like you go into the game and thinking, you know, maybe they could win, but they just dominated them. I did not see any way that was going to happen.
The one play of that game that stands out in my mind, like kind of defined that entire game for me, was I believe that was the game that Joel Lanning just absolutely demolished the Texas D-back out in the flat.
Yeah.
So that just summed up the entire game for me in one play.
And then Paul Rhodes comes in after in the press conference and says that Iowa State shouldn't beat Texas.
Well, which is technically true. You shouldn't beat Texas, but we beat them handily that year. So
yeah, well, you shouldn't beat them, but you shouldn't say that you shouldn't beat them
either. Yeah, and that's true, and that's partially why he's not coaching at Iowa State anymore. So
yeah, that's for sure. All right, my number two, staying in the Big 12, I've got Kansas State, which it's funny. I was doing some research on the internet, and I was looking at, like, I wanted to find some lists of, like, programs on the decline, and I found one from 2015. They had Kansas State on there.
Really?
Yeah, and I was like, they'd like just gone, I don't know, what'd they go, like 6-6 or something that year? It was when they were down to like their fourth string quarterback by the end of the season.
And they still went 6-6.
Right. Yeah. And I looked at that and I was like, that's crazy. I mean, it took 2 years. They're right back at 9-4, won 6 of their last 7 last year. You got Jesse Ertz back, who historically, Bill Snyder, he'll have those guys that come in and play quarterback as a freshman or sophomore. It takes them 2 years, and then all of a sudden they're just studs.
Yep.
So this is his, what, third year as a starter?
Yeah.
It seems like this is his, like, jump forward year.
Yep.
And then he's got you got Alex Barnes, too, who was their top running back last year, and I think he's going to be a really good player as well. So, I mean, that's another one of those teams. I think in the Big 12, you look at – I wouldn't be surprised to see them in the top two or three. Like,
yeah.
I think you have four teams that if you said that team's in the Big 12 championship, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see them there.
I mean, until Bill Snyder retires, you just got to expect Kansas State to, you know, be the dark horse for the Big 12 title every year.
Right.
Even if they're not very talented.
And they're going to have a good defense. They lost their Elijah Lee, who is really good, a linebacker. But, I mean, they've got DJ Reed's a good, really good cornerback. They've got some good defensive linemen back. I mean, that's just going to be a salty team. There's, like, nobody on there that you look at it and it's, like, one guy jumps out to you. It's like, oh, my gosh, like, that guy. You've got to pay attention to that guy.
Yeah.
But they've got a bunch of guys that, cumulatively make a really good team.
Yeah, and well, the system they run just makes them so unique now in the Big 12 with that pass-happy offenses. It's like every week you prepare for, you know, a spread offense, but when you get to K-State, it's a power run. Mm-hmm. So just different to plan for.
That damn vampire, dude.
I know. The wizard, the vampire, whatever mythical beast you want to call him.
I swear to God, there's just going to be one game, like, he's going to keel over on the sidelines. Like, he's not going to retire. He already did it once, and we saw what happened.
He will go straight from coaching on the sidelines to his grave right there on the sideline.
That's what I'm saying.
In Bill Snyder Family Memorial Stadium, whatever you call it. Yeah.
Right. Well, I can't imagine there's ever been another stadium where the coach was still coaching and the stadium was named after him. I can't imagine that's ever happened in not just in football, but in any other sport.
Well, the next one will probably be Nick Saban Memorial Stadium down in Alabama or something. I don't know.
Which,
what is their stadium called? I can't remember.
Bryant Denny.
That's right.
So what are they going to change it to? Brian, Denny Saban?
Well, maybe Nick Saban Field.
Yeah, okay, there we go. See, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Bill Snyder has earned Bill Snyder Family Stadium, Bill Snyder Field at Bill Snyder Family Stadium at this point, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, so Kansas State, I've got them as my number two.
Okay. My next trending up, I just went, stayed in the Big 12 again, Oklahoma State. They've just been good the last few years, and this is the year that they can really contend for the college football playoff. They're starting seven seniors on their most recent depth chart and have arguably the best three-headed monster in the country in Mason Rudolph, Justice Hill, and James Washington. So you have to believe in the power of the Mike Gundy mullet down there.
Yeah. That's another one of those schools where it's like they just reload with receivers every year.
Yeah.
I don't know where they find these guys.
I know. And, you know, like I've been on Twitter, and being on Twitter, you see a lot of dumb fans. But a lot of Oklahoma State fans I come across, they're always super confident. I want them to not be good just one of these years. But it seems like every year they are good. And, you know, Oklahoma State's one of the schools that, you know, they're a lot like Iowa State just because they're not the flagship school in the state. So it's easy to root for them. But at the same time, you run into those Twitter fans and – you like to see them knock down a peg, but...
Well, it's funny because even when you think that they might not be very good, they'll still win eight games.
Yeah.
Like, that, at this point, that's what, like, Oklahoma State's floor is, which is crazy because I remember, you know, when... what was the name of the quarterback when Mike Gundy went on his rant? Once someone would say it, I would be like, oh, yeah, that's right.
I want to Google it now.
Oh, man. I'm mad that I can't remember. He was... I know he's a black guy. That's all I remember.
His rant was 10 years ago, so it was 2007. Was it – okay, I'm seeing Bobby Reed, Zach Robinson. Either of those ring a bell?
No. Zach Robinson does, but I don't think that was him.
Okay. Well, Google failed me then.
See, okay, regardless. But I think back to what they were then, which they weren't bad. But I remember, you know, you would go against Oklahoma State and it's just like, that's just like another game.
Yeah.
You know, now it's not just another game.
No, they're one of the best teams in the conference consistently.
Yeah. And like I said, I mean, the receiver thing, like they pop out receivers like it's nothing.
Yeah.
One time, like one after another, they won the Blitnikoff, what, like 3 years
ago? Yeah.
Well,
they had Justin Blackman and then who was after him? They had another good one.
Well, they had Dez Bryant.
Yep.
And then Justin Blackman.
Yep.
And then somebody. Now James Washington just won the Blitnikoff too.
Yep.
Or no, he was a finalist though.
And but obviously when you have an NFL caliber quarterback and Mason Rudolph hooking up with an NFL caliber wide receiver, you're going to have some good offensive
production. Yeah, I mean, that's one of those teams where if you can stop anyone, if you can keep them from scoring 30 points, you're going to win a lot of games.
Absolutely.
Because your team's going to score more than 30 points almost every game.
Yep.
All right, that's a good one. I'm not sure that I'm as high on them as I know Chris picked them to win the Big 12. I'm not that high on them, but I mean, I think I wouldn't be surprised to see them in that Big 12 championship game. They're right in there with Oklahoma, Texas, and Kansas State in that conversation.
I would be surprised if they weren't in the Big 12 championship game.
Yeah, I would not. I honestly, at this point, I'm getting to the close to where I would be surprised if the Big 12 championship game is not a rematch of the game from the week before when it's Oklahoma and Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
And then that'll, of course, be a controversy in the eyes of the playoff committee because one team will probably beat one, and the next week it'll be the opposite result.
So. Right. I can't imagine that's ever happened either, where there's been one – they play 1 week, and then the next week they're playing for the championship of the conference. That's the point when you're like, okay, this is kind of stupid. Like, this is kind of crappy that we're doing this.
Yeah. Because what week is the – well, I guess it doesn't even matter. I was going to say the Ohio State-Michigan game, but they're in the same division, so it doesn't
– Yeah.
Register.
Well, really, even then, they're kind of playing for the – that's essentially the Big Ten championship game.
It is, yeah.
Which I actually – we'll talk about Michigan later, too. But, all right, my number three is Jarrett Stidham. A blast from the past kind of for some
– he's at Auburn now.
Yeah,
right?
For Big 12 people. Was named Auburn's starting quarterback this week.
Mm-hmm.
And he has – right now he's at 15-1 odds to win the Heisman, which was the updated odds that came out a couple weeks ago.
That seems really good to me.
Yeah. I mean, he was like the number one recruit in the country. Mm-hmm. I think people kind of forgot about him.
That's true. He was a five-star, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't his first career start that game against Iowa State?
It might have been. Seth Russ, or was it Seth
Russ? He broke his neck in the Iowa State game. Isn't that right?
That's right, yeah.
And that's, so that was his first game that he came in and played.
Wasn't he out there in like the third quarter and they were beating us by like 50 points and then he got his neck broke?
Yeah.
It was kind of like karma coming up there.
Right.
So.
Well, I think that was the first game that Joel Laning really kind of got to play, too.
That's right. I think that's right.
Yeah, I'll never forget that game because I went to Clarinda like the night before with my friend, and we went to the bar in Clarinda, and we stayed up the whole night and drove back to Ames. Yeah. And I got back to Ames at like 9 o'clock in the morning, and I was supposed to tweet the game, and I fell asleep on my couch, and it was 11 o'clock game, and Chris texted me at like 11:10. I'd missed the kickoff, all this stuff. He's like, "Hey, are you still going to tweet the game?"
Oh dear.
And I was sleeping, so Chris woke me up to be able to tweet the game. That was when I was still in college, so it was okay if I stayed up all night like that.
Yeah, you were used to doing stuff like that.
Right, exactly. But, I mean, I think Auburn's a team that can be pretty good. They just lost John Franklin, though. What are they going to do without last chance you, John Franklin?
I don't know the answer to that question.
FAU is trying to be, like, the new last chance you, though.
They have, like, three of their players now, don't they?
Yeah, I think it might be more than that, even.
Yeah.
I know they got at least two of the guys from just this last season that just came out. The quarterback and the defensive end, the guy that was at Louisville before.
I think Lane Kiffin just watches that, and that's like his pipeline now. So.
Yeah, Lane Kiffin's just a big last chance you guy.
He is. So
I really love Netflix.
It's very clear, yeah.
Lane Kiffin is another one of those guys that somehow...
He keeps getting jobs.
He failed up. Like, in his life, he's just failed up.
It's so weird how he just gets hired for the new job, then he fails, and then he gets hired again, then he fails.
Right.
It's like every year.
His dad was a legend, you know, was a legendary defensive coordinator in college and in the NFL as well. And then he goes to USC, has some good teams at USC, which I think were a product more of who was on his team more than it was the coaching. Mm-hmm. When you've got Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush and Mike Williams.
You're bound to do all right.
Lendale White. Yeah, I think you're going to be okay more often than not. Goes to Tennessee. He's terrible there. Everybody hates him. Or Oakland Raiders. Like, he's terrible there. Everybody hates him. Gets run out of town in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Gets fired at... Where was he at after Tennessee?
Didn't he go back to USC? Or
oh, yeah, yeah. He was at USC, got fired there.
Yeah.
That was where they didn't even let him on the bus.
Yeah, I remember that. Oh, man.
Mike Garrett fired him before he even got on the bus. They didn't let him on. Yep. They left him in
wherever. That's a running joke for everyone, and it actually happened to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he goes to Alabama, and he's banging the allegedly banging Saban's daughter
allegedly.
And all this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now he's a head coach again. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Why do people keep hiring this guy?
He must be the best interviewer in college football. Something. I have no idea.
It's something like that. Right. Like, he's got to be a guy that you get him in the room, and it's just like, oh, I love this guy.
Yeah,
we got to hire him.
He's got to be, like, magnetic in some way.
Well, FAU's going to have they've gotten every transfer, it seems like. Everybody that gets kicked off their team, they go to FAU.
Yeah, well, their APR is going to be terrible in a couple of years.
Yeah. But, yeah. Well, you remember Karan Hafiz?
Yes. Because he got involved with the whole
– originally committed to Iowa State, and then decommits from Iowa State, is going to announce his commitment, and then, like, the night before he's going to announce his commitment, comes out that he was the recruit in the Minnesota scandal.
Yes.
And he's not a take at Iowa State, Nebraska, anywhere. Indiana commits to Indiana, and then Indiana finds out about it. They're like, yeah, you can't come
here. And wasn't he the guy that, like, included Iowa State as the other hat on his table, even though we had rescinded his offer at that point?
He picked up the Iowa State hat,
That's
put
right.
it on, and took it off and put the Indiana hat
Man,
on.
Man, I just wish the worst for those kind of people.
But, yeah, two of the three – at the time, he couldn't commit to them.
Yep.
Or, like, they weren't going to take his commitment.
Because
I think his other one was Nebraska. And they'd pulled his offer as well.
Yes.
And then Indiana found out, like, a week later. And they're like, okay, yeah, you can't come here. He was supposed to be an early enrollee, all this stuff.
Yep.
And then he ends up at FAU.
Yeah.
Lane Kiffin's like, oh, we're cool with it. It's all good.
Yeah. Keep it in your pants, kids.
All right. What's your number four?
My number four, speaking of smaller Florida schools, I went with USF.
Ooh, that's a good one. Scott Frost.
Yeah, Scott Frost. And for those of you who don't know, they have the best dual threat QB in the nation, not named Lamar Jackson. Quentin Flowers threw for 2,812 yards, a little bit more than 218, and ran for 1,530 last year. So he's a big-time playmaker with his arm and his legs. They went 11-12 last year, and then they play in the AAC, so... their best non-conference opponent is Illinois, and other than that, they're not going to have a whole lot of roadblocks on their way. So if they could go undefeated, then they could really have a saying to get into the playoff this year.
UCF and USF,
Well, yeah.
It'd be two teams that are going to be doing battle there in the AAC.
I mean, you get those teams, and it's like, well, yeah, but they're not Power 5.
Well,
teams,
it's funny, so. Like, to you hear people like that are AAC fans, they're like, oh, we should be a Power 5 conference.
Yeah.
And then you look at the two best teams in the conference, they're like, okay, your two best teams are UCF and USF.
And then wasn't one of those conferences, it might have been the AAC, they were, like, bragging about having more NFL draft picks this year than the Big 12. It was one of those.
They also have, like six more teams.
That's yeah, exactly.
They have
which
a lot
makes
of
the argument even more stupid.
Right.
So
yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, UCF, dude, I think Scott Frost is – that's one of those schools. They have the largest enrollment of any state university in the country.
Really?
Yeah, that's one – they've got like 70,000 kids on their campus.
Yeah, so they should be good.
Right. Well, I think I saw – I don't know if you saw this, but I saw something on Twitter one day where they're building like this big like resort. It's going to have, like, a huge pool that, like, goes all around and stuff like that. Like, all around their campus. It's crazy.
Really?
I was just looking at it. I was like, this is what school's like in Florida?
See, that's how
I picked the wrong school,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that's how you recruit football players to come play for your school right there. You build a big old lazy river around your
campus. Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, that would be nice, dude.
Yeah.
Should have gone to UCF.
I know. Well, in-state tuition, man. At least for me. You're from Nebraska, right?
So. No, I'm from Iowa.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. You're from the same place that Chris is.
Yeah. I'm from Clarinda, but yeah, that's actually why I came to Iowa State. Nobody really knows that, but
in-state tuition
is hard to turn down.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I like it.
But yeah, UCF, that's a good one. I mean, I think Scott Frost is a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
Stay woke when Mike Riley gets fired. That's going to be there. Could be their guy.
I would believe. I'm surprised he didn't get hired there last time.
No, everybody on the – see, we kind of were talking about this before the forums. On the Nebraska forums when that was all going on.
Yeah.
The rumor that – this was like such a pipe dream for Nebraska fans. They're like, Jim Tressel's going to come. And then Scott Frost is going to be the OC, like head coach in waiting.
Yeah.
And then everybody's like, oh, wait, Jim Tressel still has like a show cause penalty, like show cause on him. And he's definitely not going to get hired. And it didn't take anybody very long to realize that. And now Bo Pelini works for Jim Tressel. So it's like that clearly was never going to happen. But there were some crazy Nebraska fans that thought that Scott Frost was going to come be their coach in waiting.
Yeah.
With Jim Tressel.
Well, it's still the 90s for those fans. So
yeah, you're not wrong. all right, my number four, Justin Herbert, quarterback at Oregon.
Okay.
Was, I don't know if he was a five-star recruit, a four-star. He was a highly rated recruit coming out of high school. He was a true freshman last season. Took over with only like four games left in the year, and he threw for 996 yards, 12 touchdowns, and two interceptions. As a true freshman, he broke the Oregon record for passing yards in a single game with 489, and then he opened with 60-1 odds to win the Heisman. It's dropped to 100-1. But I think that Oregon is another one of those ones I think you could put on the trending up. I like Willie Taggart.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got one of the best backfields in the country. Royce Freeman, obviously everybody knows about him. He's a freaking stud.
Yep.
If he wouldn't have got hurt last year, I think their season would have been exponentially different. They've got some freshmen that were like a freshman, a sophomore, that are studs. They've got, I don't know if they're going to have enough carries to go around for all these guys, but
yeah,
I think Oregon's going to bounce back in a big way after going like 4-8 last year.
Yeah. Well, you just know with Oregon, you always got those fast skill players that are always going to have with Nike being right there.
Well, yeah, you got the fast skill players, you got the Uncle Phil connection.
Yeah.
Have you
read his book?
No, I actually, I got the Audible version of it. I have to listen to it sometime.
It's very good.
Yeah. I listened to this podcast. I don't even know if he does it anymore, but Coach Cal had a podcast, Coach Cal Perry.
Yep.
He had a podcast that he would do, which Coach Cal's going to be like, I don't know what he's going to do when he's done coaching, but he's going to be like a media guy or he's going to like run for Senate or something. That guy's going to do something crazy when he's done coaching
it's
basketball.
It's really easy to hate Coach Cal, but if you actually like listen to him talk, he's a real fun guy.
Oh, I'm a huge Coach Cal guy.
Yeah.
Like everybody's like, oh, he cheats, all this different stuff. He's all about – he's, like, always going on – I'm about my guys.
Yeah.
No, Coach Cal, he's doing something right, dude. That guy is going to be, like, the governor of Kentucky in a couple years.
I like his mindset. And even though he probably does cheat, he's growing on me for sure.
But this podcast, he's had, like, Drake and people that you would never think that would go on a podcast are coming on Coach Cal's podcast. And he had Phil Knight on there.
Oh, really?
For, like, 25 minutes, did an interview with Phil Knight. It was really interesting.
Yeah.
But he had more ads on his podcast than any podcast I've ever listened to.
Really?
Yeah.
Just so like rein him in the middle.
Right.
Of the conversation,
it's like
kind of
he had like FedEx and Papa John's, like all, I mean, Blue Apron, everything. It was like everything that you can think of that would sponsor a podcast. Coach Cal had them.
Well, that's what he's doing to, so he doesn't have to go to the, manage the New York Knicks or something.
Yeah, exactly. Man, Coach Cal, I love that guy. He's one of my guys.
There you go.
All right. Who you got for number five?
My number five, I don't have a whole lot of writing down about it, but I just went with Minnesota and PJ Fleck. PJ Fleck's another one of those guys who's, you know, electric personality. He's really young. He's going to get players to rally behind him. So, I mean, I just expect Minnesota to rise up the ranks to the Big Ten. I think they'll hopefully consistently beat Iowa every year at least. So.
Yeah. I think you could – like with on the PJ Fleck vein, you could put Western Michigan on any kind of like decline type stuff.
Yeah, I would expect they'd go down.
I thought about putting them on mine, but I was like, that one's too obvious. Like everybody knows Western Michigan's not gonna be good anymore without PJ Fleck.
That's like if you got a big time coach leave, it's just automatic.
It's gonna take like a year. Every single coach in the Big Ten's gonna hate him. Hate him.
Yeah.
They're all going to come out and talk about how much they don't like PJ Fleck.
And he's one of those guys like Matt Campbell. Like he was one of the guys that Brian Ferentz called out for over-offering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's like a Mac mentality.
Yeah.
It was the Mac mentality, but it's like coming into more just mainstream college football. I think that that's just how college football is going to be now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not – I think that those guys in Iowa City, they just need to get over it. And
agreed.
And I think he went on that same show – I don't know when this was, last month sometime. And I'm pretty sure he said that they need to do things the same way that these other schools are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like he backpedaled from everything he'd said.
Oh, really?
You know, and it was like, okay, man.
Imagine
come on,
that. The backlash in the public got to him, I guess.
Exactly. But yeah, that's just funny because, I mean, I think PJ Fleck, he's a damn good coach.
Mm.
But I don't know how you win at Minnesota. Like, who would want to go play football at Minnesota?
I mean, you say the same thing about Iowa State if you're not an Iowa State fan.
That's true. That's true. But, man, it was so cold up there, dude. Like, imagine being a kid from Florida and you go to Minnesota, in the middle of November.
That's true. I mean, at least you're in Minneapolis, I guess, so.
Yeah, that's true. It would have been more fun to play there when they were playing in the Dome, though.
Yes, that would have been fun. And not cold.
Yeah, exactly.
Not as cold.
Well, Minnesota, they're just... Did you see the thing that came out on Deadspin yesterday? It was a thing had leaked that was like their team rules.
Mm-mm.
And it just was like the most ridiculous things I'd ever seen. They had a list of 15 things that were supposed to be like road bumps for college athletes. Road bumps in college athletics. I can't remember what the exact words were.
Mm.
But it was 15 things listed out, like speeding tickets, gang rape, like all these things that you're like...
It's obvious.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it was like, or stealing your roommate's phone /credit card. And it's like, okay, so stealing your roommate's phone or credit card is bad, but like stealing anybody else's, all good.
As long as it's like, it's just your girlfriend and not your roommate, then you're good.
Right. Well, and then their team rules were like, be tough, be accountable. But it was just, I was reading this whole document and I was just like, man, like who wrote this? And was like, yeah, this is good.
This is really gonna
hit home with people.
This is really going to keep my players in line.
Exactly. Well, clearly it didn't, so.
Yeah.
I think that they learned that it didn't work.
No.
All right, so my number five. They're not going to be as good as they would have been if Jacob Park was playing quarterback, but I've got Georgia. Jacob Eason returns for his sophomore year, was the number five recruit in the 2016 class. Really good quarterback. Nick Chubb, which it seems like he's been in college for like 15 years.
Yep.
It seems like it was a long time ago that Todd Gurley was a senior, but Nick Chubb's finally a senior now too.
Yeah.
And so they've got him, obviously, and then they've got another back that's really good. I think that they're on the rise. Mm-hmm. I think that they could win the East.
They're kind of like Oklahoma State in the regard that they've got really good players at the key positions.
Yeah.
So.
But they also will be really good at all the key positions, but then they'll just like implode for some reason. There's just something about Georgia that they can't win games.
Yeah. Well, and it seems like every time they get to a big game, especially, mm-hmm. then they can't win.
I remember when NoSean Moreno was there,
mm-hmm.
and they were the number one team in the country. It was like NoSean Moreno, Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
They had a receiver that was really good. I can't remember who it was. Oh, man, he was good in the NFL too.
I was going to say, there's one guy that came out of there.
AJ Green.
Was he went to Georgia?
Was he with them? Didn't he? I think he did.
AJ Green College. I'm looking it up right now.
I'm pretty sure he did, but
you might be right.
Yeah, so it was like all those guys on the same team, and they were number one team in the country preseason, and then I think they went like 8-5.
Probably.
Or like 8-4 or something like that.
That's University of Georgia for you.
Every single one of those guys I think got picked in the first round of the NFL draft, and they still couldn't hardly win any games.
Yeah.
But all right, so that's my number five. That's my – all right, say your five trending ups again.
Okay, so my five trending ups going back were Iowa State's depth at receiver, Texas and Tom Herman, Oklahoma State, USF, and then Minnesota and PJ Fleck.
UCF, right?
USF.
Oh, you had USF?
USF.
Okay, we talked about the wrong team then.
We did?
Yeah, we talked about UCF.
Wait. I said Quentin Flat. Wait. Are you sure?
Yeah, we talked about Scott Frost. He's UCF. Charlie Strong's at USF.
Oh, okay. Well, I talked about USF.
Okay. Well, I messed up then.
Okay. Well,
I thought you said
good.
UCF.
Well,
though.
Hey, we just gave the audience more than they bargained for right there. They got USF and they got UCF.
We're off to a great start.
We are. I really like this dynamic that we have going right now.
All right. So, and then I had Washington State, Kansas State, Jarrett Stidham at Auburn, Justin Herbert at Oregon, and Georgia. All right. Who you got trending down? Who's your first one?
All right. So, again, I have to start with the Iowa State one of the group. I went with Matt Campbell using the word Iowa. And I don't know if you saw this, but yesterday there was a article that came out on Go Iowa Awesome, and it was all about Matt Campbell never using the word Iowa in his tweets. So here's a little portion of that article. Matt Campbell has not authored a tweet with the word Iowa in it since June 8, and that tweet was only because it referenced the Iowa Stater restaurant serving up L's since 1932, in quotation marks. If you want to find the last time Campbell tweeted Iowa as part of a regular sentence and not a proper name, you would have to go back to January 27. So I was unaware of this happening, and it's kind of interesting to me because he's an Ohio guy, so
yeah.
I'm assuming he's stealing this from Ohio State-Michigan rivalry.
I don't even know if it's like that. Like, I read that article. Mm-hmm. I don't endorse other media outlets.
There you go. But you had to read it because
right. It
undoubtedly popped up in your timeline.
The only media outlet I endorse is CycloneFanatic.com. Get on, click the homepage. But
I have to do a little shout out to my boys at Wide Ride Night.
There you go. That's fine. They're cool. Who's in charge of Wide Ride Night now?
My boy Levi.
Oh, okay.
Levi Stevenson.
Oh, okay. I don't know him. But
he's kind of new too. But
okay.
he's a good guy.
For sure. But yeah, I read that and I was like. I was reading the whole thing, and I was just—I mean, I can see like what you were trying to do here, but
well,
I don't think you hit home the way that they thought they were going to.
And it goes back to the argument of who cares more and who doesn't care at all. Like all the Iowa fans always make the argument that we don't care at all, but then you go and write an article like that, and it's just like you're caring a little bit.
My guy Alex Gukin is the one I saw him tweet it out.
Yep.
He put it in the Tailgate Society. Okay, I'll endorse them. Tailgate Society Slack conversation, and so I clicked on that and I read it, and I read through the whole thing, and I was just like, man, like this is what we've come to.
Yeah.
Like the fact that Matt Campbell doesn't tweet the word Iowa is what offends people now.
Yeah.
Or it's not offends them, but they like notice that and then they're like, oh my gosh.
I think Brian Ferentz's pettiness is rubbing off on the entire fan base.
Yeah.
Something.
I think that the rivalry, we thought that it was heated before. I think it's going to get more heated.
Yeah. Well, especially if, like, I think I heard this talking about on KXNO the other day. It's like if Brian Ferentz becomes the guy at Iowa, then definitely the young guys.
Right. And I think we've seen – did you see the video that they did to try and get people to buy student tickets? Matt Campbell said, like, the team out east.
Yep.
See, like, he's playing up to it too. Well,
yeah.
Did you see Jim Hoffer came into his – interviews yesterday and he brought a tomato with him and he's talking about farmers and tomatoes, how he grew this tomato and
really?
How great farmers are.
I haven't seen that.
And I don't know. He said that it didn't have any kind of read between the lines, but I tweeted out the video and all the Iowa State coaches retweeted it and favorited it.
Nah.
So I'm not saying that it was like a shot about, you know, the AHF ANF thing. But I think that it might have been some kind of, like, read between the lines, you know, AHF.
With everything I hear about the staff, like, everything they do is so calculated. And
I'm
sure everything, like, especially, like, even a little something like small like that, like a tomato.
Well, these guys are so smart about social media and that kind of stuff. Like, I think that they don't do anything like that without thinking it through.
Mm.
Which, I mean, Jim Hoffer's one of the, you know, he's not an old guy, but compared to some of those other guys on the staff, he's one of the older guys. So maybe he just was like, I'm just going to go show them my tomatoes. And he's one of those guys that probably would do that. I love Jim Hoffer. He's my favorite guy on the Iowa State staff.
Mm-hmm.
But, Yeah, I mean that was funny. I was just laughing.
I'll go back and look that up.
All right, my number one is Louisville.
Yep.
Lamar Jackson was out of this world last year. Mm-hmm. They bring him back. ACC is going to be freaking stacked. I mean, Clemson is going to be Clemson. We know they're going to be good. They obviously lose Deshaun Watson, lose some receivers and stuff like that. I almost put them on my list, but then I looked and I was like, oh, wait, they returned like 13 of their top defensive players. So I was like, okay, they're probably still going to be really good.
Yeah. And they got the number one quarterback in the country coming in, Trevor Lawrence.
That's next year.
Is it next year?
Yes.
He's in the same class as Real Mitchell.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, he was in the Elite 11. Yep. They were all in that together. But so, yeah, they've got him and I assume that they've got good skill players coming back. They're going to be really good again. Mm. Florida State's going to be really freaking good. They're like a top two team. Everybody's got them. DeAndre Francois and Cam Akers is like out of this world running back. Yep. Did you ever watch his high school tape?
Mm-mm.
I only did because Cam White, you know.
From the same place?
Yeah, they went to the same school.
Gotcha.
And he played quarterback, but he would take a snap and go like 90 yards completely untouched. And
really?
It was like this, and it wasn't even because his blocking was so good. It was just because he was such a ridiculous athlete. And so he got there in the spring. So he's gone through spring ball. He's going to be their starting running back. He might be better than Dalvin Cook. And Dalvin Cook was really damn good.
I'm excited to watch him play on the Vikings this year.
Oh yeah, me too. Yeah. I'm excited about the Vikings season.
Yep. Agreed.
A lot of people probably aren't, but I am.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so yeah, Louisville, I'm just not sure that they can match that same. It's hard to come back and, you know, have 60 touchdowns like Lamar Jackson.
Well,
and
especially when you have so much more game film on a guy too, it's like you can find out what he's not so good at and, you know, game plan a lot
right.
better.
Well, I mean, Tim Tebow even won the Heisman and he had really good years after that, but he was never like as good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as that one year when he had like, I think he had was the first player ever to have like 20 passing touchdowns and 20 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
And it was just crazy that one season. And then from there, he could never kind of reach that same level. And I'm not sure that Lamar Jackson can do that. Mm. I don't think they're going to be as good.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised to see him have a worse year than he did last year.
All right. Who you got number two?
My number two, going back to the Big 12, I'm just going with Texas Tech. They lost 8 guys off the 2 deeps on their defense, which wasn't very good from last year.
Yeah.
So theoretically, it would be even worse this year. And then, of course, losing a first-round NFL quarterback also doesn't help. Mm-hmm. And Patrick Mahomes, who's the Chiefs now. So it would not be surprising for me to see Texas Tech be right ahead of Kansas in the Big 12 standings this year.
I would be more surprised if Cliff Kingsbury was still the head coach of Texas Tech next season than I would if he wasn't.
It's his 7th or 8th season now, isn't it?
Something like that. Sixth or 7th.
So it's time for him to start doing well, and he hasn't been. So
they need to bring Mike Leach back, dude.
I know.
Did you listen
There's so much bitterness between those two.
Do you ever
parties,
listen
though?
To Pardon My Take?
Nope, I don't.
Okay.
But, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, you should sometime. Just at least listen to Mike Leach on there because he went off on Texas Tech, dude.
Because he's owed money by them technically, isn't he?
No, so this is why he was going off. In Texas, there's some clause or, like, some law where contracts can be, like, I don't know, negated or whatever. They can be terminated and you don't have to pay the money if it's, like, they're for some reason. And he was going off because it's the only state in the country that still has this law. And, like, every other state used to have it.
Mm.
But, like, after – it was, like, during Abraham Lincoln's presidency, they all got rid of it. And Texas is the only one that still has it. And he was going off about this deal.
That's very Texas of Texas.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's why – and he was going off about how there was, like, these shady dealings, like, in a parking garage in Lubbock and, like, all this kind of stuff that – he hates Texas Tech. So he'll never go back there, but he should go back there because that's the only way that Texas Tech will ever be good again.
Yeah.
Maybe, well, okay, not ever again, but that's the only way I can imagine right now where they'll get back to that same level.
Yeah, and I'm expecting their offense will still be fine this year, but that defense is just so bad, and they're just not going to be able to stop anyone.
What's the name of the quarterback that he was at Iowa?
Nick Shimonek.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I remember he played in that game against Iowa State last season.
Yep, he only threw like 2 balls, I think, though, or something like that.
Yeah, that game, dude, was
so fun to watch.
It was like comedy, because I remember I can't remember. I watched it. I got back here. I think it was the night of Knoxville Nationals. I went with Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And I got back here, and it was on Cyclones TV. I was like, well, obviously I'm going to watch this. It's like 2 in the morning. I'm going to watch the Iowa State-Texas Tech game. And it was a close game for a little bit. And then all of a sudden, like, the floodgates just opened.
Mm-hmm.
And they were done, dude. Like, got down like 14 points, and you saw every single guy on their team was like huddled around the little heated benches and all this stuff. They're like, we just want to get out of Iowa.
Yeah.
I think that program is, they are going to be about as low as they can possibly get, I think, and still be like Texas Tech.
Yeah. See, that's what happens when, like, you got a coach who's a player's coach and it doesn't necessarily go so well. It's like, you know, they don't get the success off the bat, or and it just goes downhill so fast.
My number two, I kind of prefaced this one. Jake Browning, quarterback at Washington. Finished sixth in the Heisman voting last season. He was like the big name quarterback in the Pac-12, but he's not going to be anymore. Now it's going to be, you know, Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen. And I don't even think that's because, you know, Browning could have a really good year, but he's not in Los Angeles.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. USC is going to get by far. If Oregon's not that good, then USC is going to get the next pub in the Pac-12.
And yeah, I mean, those two teams are going to get as much media attention. If they're good, then they're going to get as much media attention as anybody just because of where they're located.
Yep.
And I think that they could still be – they're still going to be pretty good because they bring back almost everybody on offense outside of John Ross, which was obviously a pretty solid loss. But and then you mentioned on defense, they lose their top two cornerbacks. So, I mean, I think that, you know, they could still have a really good season, but I just don't see him being good enough to finish, like, in the top six of the Heisman voting like that again.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that I've kind of – yeah. Everybody can hear Lolo. She's, like, trying to rip my arm out of my socket to get her toy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got Jake Browning, number two.
Very good. All right, moving on. For my number three, again, it's kind of like a – this is kind of like the no-duh pick. It's just like Baylor. I mean, they're just – ever since Art Briles left for, you know, a very good reason, they're not going to be as good as they were. And I looked up their recruiting rankings because I thought they had taken a big hit, but their composite scores have kind of just been the same all these years. So I just don't think that their Matt Rhule is going to be – half the coach that Art Briles was. So.
Well, Matt Rhule did a really good job. They had like one commit when he took over. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they still had a recruiting class that ended
which
up
is
like
so
the top
surprising
30.
To me because, you know, you just figure like all these parents are going to be like, wow, I don't want to go and put my kid into that culture. But
did you see the thing that came out? Well, that book is about to come out by Schlabach and I can't remember the woman's name.
One of the people
But another person from ESPN. Jeez, Lolo.
Ripped her toy.
Yeah. So that comes out like here in the next week or so. And there's a bunch of, they like put a thing on ESPN, like all the revelations that come out of this book. And one of them was that they weren't doing drug testing.
Oh, really?
For their players. They weren't doing like random drug tests or anything like that. And they're like the only team in the country that wasn't doing random drug tests for any of their players.
Well, the rules don't apply at Baylor, apparently.
Yeah, and that was one of the like findings of the Pepper Hamilton report. So I think that this book is going to shed a lot of light on why, I mean, we know why Art Briles got fired, but I think like we're going to really know like why Art Briles got fired after this deal.
Just waiting on the NCAA to take action at this point.
Yeah, for sure. I can't remember what that book's called, but I'm going to buy it. I know that for sure. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very, very interesting. Very, very enlightening. I was talking to my dad about this, and he, you know, he was saying, he asked me like, what, you know, like what can they even do?
Mm-hmm.
The only thing they can do, I think, if they really want to send a message, is give them the death penalty. I don't think they're gonna do it, but if they want to hammer something home, I think that's the only thing they can do.
Oh, and I think what has happened is definitely death penalty worthy.
Yeah.
So. Well,
I mean,
absolutely.
I think,
it's not
a
question.
I think like there was a systemic attempt to
scrape all of it under the rug.
Right. And not even just that, but like not doing drug tests, like not, you know, like going through plans with the police and stuff like that to keep people out of trouble. Like that, that's worse than whether or not your kid was getting paid by like a booster.
Absolutely.
That's like wreaking havoc on a city. That's not just wreaking havoc on, you know, your campus. Like, oh, this guy got a Porsche.
Yeah.
Like, that's nothing compared to, you know, people are raping people and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
But I don't think the NCAA has got enough balls to do it.
I hope they will, but we'll see.
What do you think the Big 12 would pull somebody else in if they did that? Or do you think they would just be like, oh, it's whatever. We'll let them back in when they can have a team again.
My personal hope is that they would get kicked out.
Yeah. Personally. I don't think they would, but no. I don't know. I mean, there's got to be a major investigation there.
Yeah.
Like, it can't just be like criminal. It's got to be NCAA's got going. They got to do something.
I wonder, another thing to consider is that going to factor into the next round of realignment at all?
Yeah, I think it would. Yeah. I mean, you would think so, which I know obviously we're still a couple of years away from that. What is it, 2024 that everybody talks about?
2023, I think, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, they could get their program back by then, even if they gave them the death penalty, which I'm not saying they're going to, but that, to
me, it's a possibility.
Right. To me, that is the only thing that I think that they can do if they truly want to send a message about how bad that this was. Mm-hmm. Because I think that if they don't do that, then anybody else will look, any other school, they can look at that and be like,
yeah,
it's no big deal.
Yep.
You know, like they have to take a stand on this thing. They have to put their foot down. Mm-hmm. All right. So Baylor, number three, I've got Colorado, which they were like one of the surprise teams last season, and they kind of just like meteoric rise out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. They've got a new quarterback, new running back, return only three starters on defense. And then another stat I found is they went 4-1 in games decided by 10 points or less last season. And that's one of those stats that does not usually carry over from year to year. Mm-hmm. Like it's like every other year almost. Yep. I mean, there's some schools like in Alabama, like, you know, they're always going to be good in close games like that.
Well, and it seems like Iowa State's always been on the worst side of that,
right,
that number.
And I don't think Colorado's going to be like that. Like, I don't think that they're a team that every single year it's like, you know, Colorado's going to, in the fourth quarter, Colorado's going to own it.
Well, especially if they lose their you said their quarterback. And,
yeah,
you
quarterback, know, top running back, yeah, some other playmakers. And then, yeah, like I said, they return only three starters on defense. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've ever heard about this, but there's like a huge scandal going on there too with one of their coaches was like beating up his girlfriend and stuff like that. And she told the coach, and the coach didn't do anything about it. And then she told the AD didn't do anything about it. And it like took a bunch of different stuff before they finally suspended this guy. And so there's a whole big thing with them too, where there's like a cloud hanging over them, which I don't know how much that would matter to the players on the team, but it's just like one of those things that,
well, it's just a distraction.
Right. Yeah. And it's one of those things that it more seems like it could unravel to the point where eventually the coach gets fired or something like that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think that they're another one of those ones that we're not going to see them go 10-4 or anything like that again this year, mm-hmm, or here in the next couple of years.
Gotcha. All right. My fourth is Michigan State. And this, I know they were 3-9 last year, 12-2 the year before that. I just think they're not going to rebound that well.
Yeah. Well, they've got a big thing going there too.
Yeah.
Kicking people off the team and stuff.
Yep. And they've got a tough schedule this season on top of all the stuff going on, because they have to go on the road to Michigan and Ohio State, and they play Penn State at home too. So they get kind of a situation.
Is there a conference in the country where there's more, like, there's a biggest, like, bigger, like, disparity between the scheduling, where like some schools can get super easy schedules and then some get super hard ones?
I know. Well, it's like there's a little bit of fluff in the SEC. I mean, because people always bring up the SEC as the best conference, but it's like the Big Ten, like the middle of the pack teams are so like under average for being middle of the pack.
Right.
So it's, you can get really lucky, or, you know, when you play Ohio State and Michigan, then you get really unlucky.
Well, like I look at Nebraska's schedule. They play Wisconsin and Ohio State back to back weeks.
It's tough.
Like, and then you look at Iowa, and it's like they don't play Ohio State for like 7 years.
I know, in a row. Yeah.
And it's just, it doesn't make any sense to me how that can happen to people, where, or Michigan State, they're in that division where they're going to have to play all those schools, but you got to go on the road to Michigan and to Ohio State in the same year.
Yep.
Like, that sucks, man.
It does.
That doesn't make any sense to me how it can be that way.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them do better than 3-9, but I still just don't think that they're going to, like, their program is not going to be as good as it was the years prior.
For sure. All right, I've got number four, North Carolina, which they were only 8-5 last season, but I think Larry Fedora's gotten them into a pretty good spot where they can be a solid program pretty much every year. But you lose Mitch Trubisky 2 years in a row that you're going to have to replace your starting quarterback. Top two receivers and their top running back are gone. And then the ACC Coastal, we kind of talked about before, is just freaking stacked.
It is.
So I think that is another one of those programs that is going to be hard-pressed to kind of maintain that same level of success that they've found this last couple seasons. Mm-hmm. And North Carolina just isn't good at football. Like, mm-hmm, when they got kind of good, it didn't take long for us to find out that they were cheating.
Yeah.
And so it just seems like it's going to be that kind of situation again.
I can see that. And, okay, so has it been a year now since Gene Chizik left them? Or is it more than that? Or is it, how was it
He's
this year?
Still there, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah, he's still the defensive coordinator, I think. I thought he was still there last year.
I thought he left at one point. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think he's still there.
Hmm.
Where's he? See, I don't know. He was – that guy has – see, that's another one of those guys. Have you seen like a career arc where he goes from Auburn, which they were pretty good at Auburn, you know.
Yeah, well, Cam Newton, you know.
Right. Well, no, I mean, he goes from Auburn defensive coordinator, goes to – isn't that right?
He was at Texas at one point too, wasn't he?
Was he at Texas or Auburn before he came to Iowa State? I thought he was at Auburn.
Maybe he was.
Because didn't Paul Rhodes take over for him?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So then he was at – I could be completely wrong about that. I'm not. I don't want to stand by that.
We already
at all.
Got UCF and USF mixed up earlier in the podcast, so
I don't think anyone can hold us to like anything we've said.
Yeah.
At this point, but so whatever that timeline was, but he comes to Iowa State, terrible at Iowa State, goes to Auburn, wins a national championship, pays Cam Newton a bunch of money and all this kind of stuff, and everybody knows about it, but nobody really cared. And then he gets fired there. Goes and works like at Sirius XM Radio for like 3 years, and then all of a sudden he's a defensive coordinator again, and they're really good defense at North Carolina. Like, I'm sorry, man, but like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah. That's just a guy that has a black cloud hanging over his head.
Yeah,
he should be in the same sentence as Lane Kiffin.
Absolutely.
Yeah, those guys can be buddies. but yeah, North Carolina, I've got them on my trending down. I don't see any way that they can win 8 games again this year.
Mm-hmm. Just the ACC, man.
Yeah.
Too tough.
All right, who you got 5?
All right. My last one, I saved the best for last because you wouldn't think I would pick this team, but I'm going with Alabama, and I'm going to tell you why. Okay, so you think of Alabama, and you think of a lock for the national title game, right? Just because it's Alabama. But even though they've dominated for the better part of a decade, you know, they've been to 5 championship games since 2009, they haven't gone to 3 straight once during that time. So they've made the last 2. So I'm going to say that history says that they will not qualify for the national title game this year.
Did you see Nick Saban's rant that he went on? He went off on some media guy talking about why do we even practice? Why do we even play the games? You guys got it all figured out and all this stuff already.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just typical Nick Saban.
Yeah. But, so arrogant.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I agree with you. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him back in the college football playoff, but it's hard to win the national championship so often. Yeah. Like, it's hard to be that good every year.
Yeah.
And even if you have the number one recruiting class in the country or whatever, it's still hard to do that just every single year.
Yeah. Well, and you've got some really good teams, too, this year. I mean, like you said, Clemson and Florida State are going to be really good. And, you know, you got the Ohio State's, too.
I was going to say Ohio State's going to be good. Penn State's going to probably be really good.
Yep. And then you got USC and
Washington. There's going to be some really good teams in college football this season to where LSU, I mean, I think LSU is going to be a sneaky good team, too. Mm-hmm. Coach O.
Yep.
Everybody loves Coach O.
Go Tigers.
If you don't love Coach O, then you don't love football.
Yep.
But, so, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see them kind of drop off, too. That they'll still probably win 10 or 11 games.
Because it's Alabama.
Right.
But at the same time, yeah, like I said, history might say that they're going to not.
When you have so much talent, though, like, it's just hard to not win 10 games.
Well, unless you're Texas.
Well, okay, yeah, that's true. Fair enough. All right, my number 5, I got Michigan. I don't think that anybody would expect, like, Michigan to be on my list, but they lose they lose 10 starters on defense, including Jabril Peppers, who was probably shouldn't have been a Heisman finalist, but he was. He was one of those guys that the media just, like, latched onto. It's like, now that everybody just, the media loved him.
Well, it's, you know, those darling players who play on both sides of the ball, so.
Yeah, so you're saying that Joel Laney's going to be a Heisman finalist?
Well, you know, if he really plays well, you never know.
Convince me out of Joel Laney winning the Buckus Award, the Davey O'Brien, and the Heisman this season. Convince me of it.
Well, he is
nope, you can't
really
do
my
it.
Favorite player ever, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I can see Joel Landon giving, like, he's going to get, like, a College Game Day feature about him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in week 2.
And, like, I mentioned this to the guys who I chat with every day on Wide Right 90 Light, but he's going to have the move to linebacker become the new George Niang play with Nerlens Noel. It's
yeah.
going to be, like, the thing that's mentioned during every game.
And it'll be on the first series.
Yeah.
Joel Lane starting at middle linebacker.
He played quarterback last year.
He was quarterback last year. Keep an eye out. He might be coming in at quarterback at some point in this game.
Yep. You never know.
I bet in, like, the Northern Iowa game, they're going to put him out there, and he's not even going to do anything.
Probably. Either that. Well, every time he goes out there, it's just going to be a run straight forward when he's on offense.
Or a decoy. Like, they'll put him out there just to mess with people.
That'll be in, like, the Oklahoma game. Like, they're going to expect, oh, he's just going to run straight forward, and then they throw, like, a Tim Tebow dump pass right over the middle.
I want to see them do a thing where they bring him in, and then they take all of their receivers out, and all they've got is offensive linemen and tight ends in there with them. So they've got like 10 guys on the line and then him. Yep. And it's just like, we're going to run 10 guys straight at you, and then he's going to run right behind them, and that's it.
It would probably work half the time too.
Well, I remember that Stanford did that one year where they – against Oregon, when they did an I formation, but everybody else on the field was tight end or an offensive lineman. They brought like two extra tackles into the game and all this stuff, and they just killed Oregon. It was like a Thursday night. Which they always beat Oregon, but yeah, that was like Harbaugh's last year at Stanford, I think.
Yep.
All right, so yeah, I've got Michigan. I mean, Harbaugh, I love Harbaugh. Harbaugh's a football guy through and through. That I don't think that guy thinks about anything besides football.
Well, he thinks about steak and drinking milk all the time.
And milk, milk. But besides, okay, football, steak, and drinking milk, those are the only three things that Jim Harbaugh thinks about in his life.
Yep.
And I love that, but I don't think that they can. Losing 10 starters on defense, that's tough.
It is.
Yep. Especially when you got Ohio State in your division.
Yep.
All right. So that's our – read your list again, your trending downs.
All right, my trending downs. So to review, number one was Matt Campbell using the word Iowa. Number two was Texas Tech, three Baylor, four Michigan State, and five, the Alabama Crimson Tide.
All right, I had Louisville, Jake Browning, Colorado, North Carolina, and Michigan. Is there a worse – website name then
Go Iowa Awesome? I don't think so. It's personally my,
I don't
my least
start,
favorite.
I don't want to start like any kind of
a blog
beef or anything like that.
Yeah.
But
well, they'll probably listen to this pod too since they're obsessed with Iowa State. So.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, someone is going to listen to this and hear us trash on them. And I'm going to get people in my mentions that are pissed at me because of this.
Yeah. So I apologize for that.
And I love it. I'm going to embrace everything, every single second of it. Chris might not be pleased about it, but I'm going to embrace it.
Yeah. Well, we'll get a flood of hawk trolls in the forums this next week. So.
Yeah, for sure. I handle the logins, like the people sign up. So if anybody that signs up from Iowa City the next week, I'm not letting them in.
There you go.
If you're listening to this pod and you live in Iowa City and you try and sign up for Cyclone Fanatic, you're not getting approved.
Don't bother.
All right. Thanks again to Heartland Flags for sponsoring this Cyclone Fanatic podcast. We're going to keep doing this here every single week. Cyclone Side of Life. That's the name that we've kind of halfway accepted.
It's at least a working name.
Yeah. Working title. Thanks, man, for coming in.
I appreciate it.
We will talk to you guys again soon, and everybody have a great weekend.